Today's shiur is Daf Mem Aleph. We will begin on Daf Mem Amud Beis, 15 lines from the bottom. Amar Rav Yitzchak Bar Avdimi. So Rav Yitzchak Bar Avdimi said, Pam achas nechnasti achas Rebbe lebeis hamerchatz. I once followed Rebbe into the Beis Hamerchatz on Shabbos. Now this Beis Hamerchatz, as we become clear in the Gemara, was a Beis Hamerchatz of Chamei Tveria, of the springs of Tveria. Ubikashti laniach loy pach shel shemen ba'ambati, and I wanted to put a flask of oil into the hot bathtub to warm it up. Vomeli, so Rebbe told me, tubakei sheni, take the water in a kli sheni and the temboy, and then put the flask into the kli sheni, not into the kli rishi. So the way the Mefarshim explained the Gemara is as follows, that this bath of the Chamei Tveria was connected through a pipe to the Chamei Tveria directly, and therefore the bath itself had the din of a Kli Rishon. And therefore, he was saying to him, as will become clear in the Gemara soon, that you can't put the Shemen directly into the bath, which is a Kli Rishon, rather you should put it into a Kli Sheni. The Chazon Ish says, based on this Gemara, that from here we see that anything which is directly connected to a Kli Rishon is considered like a Kli Rishon itself. And therefore the bath, even though it was connected through a pipe to the Chamei Tveria, it wasn't actually itself the Chamei Tveria, already has a din of a Kli Rishon. And therefore he says, if you have a percolator, for example, which has a spigot, a faucet, and you push the water out, the water that goes into a cup would be considered, that cup water would be considered Kli Rishon, because it's directly connected through that faucet to the Kli Rishon, the percolator. Other Paiskim disagree, and they say that this bath was in the Chamei Tveria itself, not, and that's why it was a Kli Rishon, not connected through a nitzuk, through a pipe. Says the Gemara regarding this story, Shema Mina Tlas. From this story we learn three halachas. One halacha is Shema Mina Shemen Yesh B'Mishab Bishol, that in oil there's also in your bishul, something we discussed yesterday. V'shma mina, we learn from here, the Kli Sheni ain't a mevashel, that a Kli Sheni doesn't cook it. And that's why he said, put it into a Kli Sheni, because you won't have a problem with bishul once in the Kli Sheni. V'shma mina, we also learn from here, hefshero zeh bishuloi, that warming it itself is considered cooking it. Now, there's a very important Tosfos here. Tosfos says, Tosfos wants to understand, what is the difference between a Kli Rishon and a Kli Sheni? Kli Rishon is in which a primary keli, in which the pot on the fire would be a Kli Rishon. A Kli Sheni is already the secondary keli where the liquid came from the Kli Rishon into the Kli Sheni. Ask Tosfos. We're obviously talking that the liquid here, whether it's in the Kli Rishon or the Kli Sheni, is Yad Seledus. It's hot. Because if not, it certainly can't be Mevashel. So what's the difference if it's in a Kli Rishon or a Kli Sheni? So Tosfos explains that a Kli Rishon, the heat of the Kli Rishon is not only from the hot liquid inside the Kli Rishon, but also what contributes to the heat of a Kli Rishon are the walls. Since this actual pot was on the fire, the walls become very hot, and they contribute to cooking the liquid inside the pot. Mash enkein a Kli Sheni, which wasn't directly on the fire. So although maybe the liquid inside is very hot, but you don't have the hot walls contributing to the heat, and that's why it's a lesser degree of bishul. Interesting shaila that the Taz asks, what's going to be the halacha if you put a keli into the Kli Sheni? You put a cup into the Kli Sheni, into the Kli Rishon, and you take out liquid that way. Will that cup be considered a Kli Rishon or not? The Taz says that it would be a Kli Rishon. And that's why he says the Gemara used the Lashon V'yitein B'Kli Sheni, put into Kli Sheni. He says the Gemara didn't just say take a Keli and put it into the bath, because putting a Keli into the bath you would still have a Kli Rishon. What he meant was you have to get it out of the bathtub without putting the second cup actually into the bathtub, because putting the second cup into the putting the cup into the bathtub would make that cup into a Kli Rishon. The Maril disagrees, and he says even if you put the cup into the Kli Rishon, since it's not the actual keli in which the food got cooked, that cup is not considered Kli Rishon. There will be a nafka mina here for Hilchos Shabbos. What is a Kli Rishon? What is Kli Sheni? A very relevant shaila would be putting a ladle into a soup pot on the fire. Would that be considered, would that ladle not be a Kli Rishon or Kli Sheni? Most places can certainly hold if you leave it there for a while, it'll be a Kli Rishon. According to the Taz, as soon as you put it in, it'll be a Kli Rishon. Another shaila is, can you use such a keli for kashering? Because halacha is you have to kasher in a Kli Rishon. According to the Taz, you could use this keli even to kasher in. According to Maril, you shouldn't. And the Shach says that you shouldn't kasher in such a utensil. Ask the Gemara. Eichi avi hachi, how could he have done this? V'amar Rabbi Bachan, amar Rabbi Yochanan. V'kam mokam mutter laharer. It's mutter to think about the Reitoira everywhere. Chut v'beis ha-merchet, so basic he say, except in a bathhouse and a bathroom. So how could he have told him a halacha? V'chitayim v'loshin chol amrali. And if you'll tell me that what Rebbe said to Rabbi Yitzchak Ba'adimi, he said it not in Lashon HaKodesh. V'amar Abaya, Abaya said, Dvar M'shachol Mutal Amar B'Lashon HaKodesh. Secular matters can be spoken in a bathroom B'Lashon HaKodesh. However, Shal Kodesh, holy things, Asr L'Amram, are also to be said, even B'Lashon Chol, even in a secular language. So saying it not in Lashon HaKodesh wouldn't have helped. And ask Tosfos, how can we even think saying it in a secular language would help? If the halacha is you're not allowed to think divrei Torah, divrei kedush in a bathroom, so how could you think that you could say him in a secular language? So Tosfos says, when the halacha is you're not allowed, the Gemara in the Havamina believes that when the halacha is you're not allowed to think divrei shebe kedusha in a bathroom, it meant thinking them in lashon kodesh. Answers the Gemara, afrushim is surah shani. Here he was trying to prevent him from doing an Aveira, and therefore he was allowed to tell him. And like the Ramban explains, we might have thought that he should not be allowed to do this. Why? Because the Isser he was doing here was a Drabbanan. Cooking in a Kli Sheni, or cooking even in a Kli Rishon just to take off the heat, is probably only Isser Drabbanan. Talking in Torah in a bathhouse is Isser Deraisa. So perhaps you would not be allowed to do that. So he says you are allowed to. Teda continues the Gemara with a proof. Don Rabbi Yudam Shmuel, Masa b'Talmid of Shremeir, Shenichnas Akrav lebeis ha-merchatz, he followed Ramei into the bathhouse on Shabbos, Ubikish l'adiach ha-karka, and he wanted to wash the floor of the bath pool in front of him. V'amalayim, he told him, Ein madichem, you're not allowed to wash a floor on Shabbos. It's a drabonim because of boinim. V'amal, he wanted to smear the floor with fragrant oil. Amalai told him, "Ain't tzachim, you're not allowed to smear it." So what do you see? Alma frush misurishani. We see that preventing somebody from doing something, an aveira, is permitted to be said in a bathroom. Hakanami, therefore, here too, lafrush misura. His whole purpose was to prevent him from doing an aveira, and that was shani. So the mashal explains. What do we know? Mashal explains. What do we know more from the second story than from the first story? Al Gemara also, from the story that we began this year with, we also saw that in a bathroom you're not allowed to, you're allowed to stop a person from doing an Aveira. So Mashal explains that Al's story, he didn't tell him don't do something, he just told him put it into another cup. That isn't as much of a teaching of a halacha as telling, as Rameya did, where Rameya said don't do this, don't do that. And therefore the Gemara shows how far a frushi misura is permitted in a bathroom. The Yerushalmi goes even a step further, and the Yerushalmi says that in a bathroom you're allowed to even ask a halacha that's halacha lemais, that's relevant to know in the bathroom or in the bathhouse, you're allowed to ask such a shayla. The only thing you're not allowed to talk about is something that's not relevant here. That's not the place to start talking divrei Torah. A lot of Rishonim disagree, and they say the only thing that permits is lafrushim yisura, to stop a person from doing an aveira, but to explicitly have a conversation that relates to Torah is usur in a bathroom. Perhaps the machloikas, the Peiris Ta'ina, explains it as follows. Why are we not allowed to speak Torah in a bathroom? Because it's a disgrace to Torah that in such a place we're speaking Torah. So here, we were speaking halacha of the bathroom, of the bathhouse. That's not a disgrace to the Torah. That's a kavod Torah. That we're showing how the Torah affects every aspect of our life. And therefore, perhaps the Yerushalmi says, that's what Yerushalmi says, you could talk and ask a shayla in the bathroom. However, the Chayi Adam paskins that the only thing you're allowed to do in the bathroom is tell a person that what you're doing is wrong, but to answer a shayla or to ask a shayla, that's not the place to do it because of what the Torah says, Vayim Achnecha Kadosh. Interesting question that I saw is, are you allowed to think in a bathroom or in a bathhouse about the greatness of Hashem, about the godless Haboirei? And they bring a riot from the Medrash that you're not allowed to, because the Medrash says, the Gemara says, that David HaMelech, when he was in the bathhouse, was concerned that he didn't have any mitzvahs with him, until he realized that he had the Milo, L'amnatzeach ala Shminis, L'amnatzeach ala Milo Shenita B'Shminis. The question is, if you're allowed to think about godless Haboirei, so he could have had a mitzvah. It must be you're not allowed to think about any Dover Shepa Kedusha in a bathroom. However, the shayla is, it's interesting, when we learned the Gemara Masech, the Brachas, we said that Ein Oimdim L'Spalo, you're not allowed to daven El Matoich Halacha Psuka. That before davening, you should not learn something that revolves back and forth. Why? Because when you'll daven, you'll be thinking about the learning, not about the davening. So how come there is no such halacha about going into the bathhouse or the bathroom, that you should not be thinking about Torah before you go to the bathhouse or the bathroom, because you will continue doing that? So the Truma Tadeshin discusses the Shaila, and he says, of course, somebody who can't control himself from thinking about learning should not learn immediately before going to the bathroom or the bathhouse. But he makes a distinction between going to the bathroom and davening. He says, by davening, the halacha is you have to have kavana. You have to have the proper kavana when you daven. And you can't have the proper kavana if you're thinking about the learning that you just learned. In the bathroom, the Isser is not having the kavana. There's no inyan of kavana. The inyan is that you now ought to be thinking about the very kedusha in the bathroom. So therefore, it's not as serious, and therefore, there is no such halacha about not learning before going to the bathroom or the bathhouse. Another shayla that I saw was from the Tzitz Eliezer. He asks the shayla, in many shuls, the bathroom are so located that even when somebody's sitting in the bathroom, he could hear the davening or learning of people in the shul. Is that permitted or not? And again, he also says it's permitted, because since the person's kavana is not to hear the divrei kedusha, and the isser in the bathroom is just not to think about it, but there's no issue that you have to have specific kavana for something else, that's why he says it's okay. Om Ravina. So continue to Gemara. Shema mino, hamavasha b'chamitferi b'shabbos. If somebody cooks in the chamitferi b'shabbos, it's chayiv. Why? The Maisa, the Rebbe, the story of Rebbe, Lach Gzeirah Hava, was after the Gzeirah that we discussed yesterday and early in the week about taking a bath on Shabbos. So it must be that the bathhouse that he went into must have been with Chamit Feria. And still, Vamalei Toba Kli Sheni V'tein. Rav Yitzchak Bar Avimi still told him to put the oil into Kli Sheni, not into the bath itself. We clearly see that there is an isser of putting and cooking in the chamit feria. Eini, asked the Gemara of Omar of Chizda said, "Havash b'chamit feria b'Shabbos potter." If somebody cooks in the chamit feria on Shabbos, he's not chayiv, and it's not osur. And so the Gemara, "My chayiv nami the kamer." When we said that you chayiv for cooking in the chamit feria, we didn't mean that you chayiv midaraisa. It means makas mardis, which is the Makis, which a person receives when he's over a drabbonin, when he transgresses a drabbonin, but it's not a deraisa. Om Rab Zera. So Rab Zera says, so before we go into Gemara, we have to review a Mishnah Masech Tebeya. The Mishnah Masech Tebeya says that Chazal prohibited us from swimming or floating in water on Shabbos or Yontif. The Gemara there explains that the reason for this iser is that somebody may make a chavish al shaitan, a tube, a life preserver, which is also to make on Shabbos. Now, the halacha is, under what situation is it asur or mutter? So says the Gemara, Anoch hazita l'rabavua, Aisar bavua, the shot bambati, that he floated an in-ground bathtub on Shabbos, v'lo yidana, and I don't know, I okar, if he lifted his feet off the ground and actually floated, Eloi Akar, if he did not lift his feet off the ground and did not really float at all. Because the only time it's usher is when you're swimming. If he didn't swim, it's certainly mutter. Says the Gemara, Pshita, it's Pashat, the Loi Akar, that he did not lift his feet off the ground. The Tanya, we learned in a Braisa, a Yosh, if Adam Abrechem Lay Mayim, a person's not allowed to swim in a pool full of water, but Fila Medz Pachatzer, even if it's in a closed yard. So, what was the Shaila? Answered the Gemara like Kasha. Ha, the ruling that you're not allowed to swim in a pool is the Lesle Gedudi, refers to a case where the pool does not have an embankment. So since it doesn't have an embankment, it looks like a Nohar, it looks like a river, and the halach is that in a river, as we said before, you're not allowed to swim because you may make a chavish or shaitan. You may make that life preserver, which is also to make on Shabbos or Yontif. Ha, however, the story where Rav Avu was floating in the tub was the Isla Gedudi, where the tub had an embankment. Since it had an embankment, it did not look like a Nohar, and if it doesn't look like a Nohar, it's certainly not Asur. Therefore, the Pesukim say, certainly, if it's not an in-ground pool, it's like a tub, which is or a vessel, it certainly would be mutter. Why? Because it doesn't look like a river, and the only thing that we're saying is Asur is an area that looks like a river. Vam Rav Zeira, continues the Gemara. Am Rav Zeira, Ano chazita l'rabavua, Aisra rabavua, shinoyech yodov k'neg panim shlamata, he covered his hands over his, he put his hands over his private parts when he went to the river. I don't know if he touched them or not. Says the Gemara, Pshit, it's obvious to Loinaga that he certainly did not touch him. Why? The Tanya, we learned in a Braisa, Gemara, Mesechta Nida, Rebbeleza says, Kol Oichas Ba'alma, whoever touches his private parts, or Mashtin, and then urinates, Kila Mevi Mabel, it brings a flood to the world. And the Gemara explains there, because the halacha is that there could be an emission of zera, of semen, which would be a terrible aveira, which is the aveira which brought the Mabel. So how could there be a havamina, asked the Gemara, that he touched his private parts? Amar Abaya, also kabaloshes. Rav Avu's case is similar to the case of soldiers, the Tnan. We learned in the Mishnah. If soldiers, an army, comes into the city, if it's in peacetime, you find open barrels of wine, those barrels are awesome. Because we assume that they were touched by the non-Jewish soldiers. Stumais, but if they're still sealed, mataris, because obviously, had they touched them and drank from them, they would have not been sealed. However, b'shas mechama, if it's in time of war, elav ela mataris, then both types are permitted. B'fish ein p'nei l'nasech, because there's no time to do nisuch, to pour wine, to ravai the zara, during war. Ama, so what do we see? Kivin b'isi, since they're frightened and distracted, l'minaschi, they do not pour the regular nisach. Hachanami, so the same thing here. Kivin the ba'itz, since they're frightened, la'yasa la'hure, they're not going to have improper thoughts. That's why Reb Zeira thought that there was a possibility that Reb Avoh touched his private parts. Asked the Gemara, v'hachamai b'susa, what's he scared of here? There's not a war. Answered the Gemara, b'susa denaro, he's scared of drowning in the river. Eini, Says the Gemara, how could Rav Avua cover his private parts? V'amar Abba, Amar Rav Huna, Amar Rav, Kol Hamaniach Yodo, Kneg upon Shlamata, whoever places his hands over his private parts, Kila Kaifa Brisa Shel Avraham Avinu, it's considered as if he denied the bris milah that was given to Avraham Avinu, because it seems that he's ashamed of the bris milah. And the Mashab points out, why is the Gemara mentioned, when the Gemara speaks about the bris, why does he call it brisoy shel Avraham Avinu? He could have said kila kaifa bebris, bebris milah. So Mashab explains that prior to Hashem telling Avraham Avinu our obligation to have a bris, the makam hamila wasn't anything special. The makam hamila that gets the chshivas, the significance that the Gemara is attaching to it, only happened after HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Avraham Avinu about the bris. Answers the Gemara, Loi kasha. Haki nachas, when the person is going down to the river and his back is to the public, he should not cover his bris milah. Haki solak, but when he's going up from the river and he's facing the public, that's when he should cover his makam hamila. Kihad Rava, like Rava Sachi, Rava would bend down when walking to and from the river. Asterishas, isn't this just the opposite of what we just learned? We just learned that when you go down, you should not cover yourself. And we're talking, going to learn right now of Zaira Zakif. And Zaira, when he walked and went to the mikveh, he went standing tall. So why did Rava bow down? So Rishas says like this, Rava felt that of course to explicitly cover his milah is wrong, as we just learned. But to walk bending down, it's not obvious that he's covering his makam hamila, and if you could do it in that way, do it that way. Rav Zera said, no, you're not allowed to cover it, and you're not allowed to do anything that attempts to show that you're covering it. Rabbanan de Berashi, and that's what the Gemara says, the Rabbanan de Yeshiva Rav Ashi used to do, Kikonachsi, when they went down to the river, Zakvi, they would stand straight, Kikosaki, when they came up from the river, Sochi, they would bend over. But of course, the Shulah says, that even though we see here in the Gemara, at least when you're going to the river, you should not cover your makam hamila. So the Shulah says, that's because anyway you could only do it in an undressed state. But of course, says the Shulah, as it says in Shulchan Aruch, if a person sleeps in an undressed state, he should be careful not to expose himself, he should get dressed or undressed under the covers. Whatever is possible to be done in its nearest to go away should of course be done. Here anyway, it was impossible because he would end up going into the river without any clothing. And Rav Moshe Feinstein and Chuvataka says that the union of tznius, of modesty, is not limited to women. It applies to men also. Rav Zera HaKamishtamad Rav Yehuda. Rav Zera was avoiding Rav Yehuda. Why? The boy Lamesik Lad Yisrael. Rav Zera wanted to go live in Eretz Yisrael. And Rav Yehuda felt that that was halachically prohibited. Dom Rav Yehuda, Kala Olam Bavel Eretz Yisrael, whoever goes from Bavel to Eretz Yisrael, over Basay, he's over a positive mitzvah with the Rabbanim. Shnemar, because the Pasuk says in Yirmiyo, Bavel Yivo, they should go to Bavel, Veshama Yiyu, and they should remain there. So according to Rav Yehuda, a person living in Bavel was not supposed to go to Eretz Yisrael. Rav Zeira felt that this pasuk is not referring to people. This pasuk was referring to the kelim of Beis HaMikdash that were removed from Bavel, and they were removed from Eretz Yisrael to Bavel, and they should remain there. But he felt people can go to Eretz Yisrael. The Meiri points out that the halacha also is that in any time, a person who's living in a makam Torah or in a makam Yerushalayim, where there's a great opportunity to learn and do mitzvahs, should not move to a place where he doesn't have that opportunity. Omar, but Rav Zeira still said, Ezav Eshmina Milsa, let me go and learn one more thing from Yehuda, the Esiv Esek, and now I'll move to Eretz Yisrael. Ozel Ashkech Kobebani, he met Rav Yehuda standing in the bathhouse. The Kamle Lishamai, and he told his attendant, Hevili Neser, bring me soap, Hevili Masuk, bring me a comb. Pischu pamaychu, open your mouths, vafiku havla, and discharge heat. Let the steam come out of your mouth. Vishta mamayim bebani, and drink of the water of the bathhouse. If that's the only hot water available, Rashi explains, then drink that water. Omer, so Rav Zeir said, Il mali lebasi elushmai davaze, had I only come to hear the statement from Yehuda, die, it's enough. So the Gemara explains what is the significance of every one of these statements. Bishlam Heviyu Neser, it's understandable the statement where he said, bring soap, Heviyu Masrik, bring a comb, Kamashmalan, that Dvarim Shalchol, secular matters, Mutar L'Omer B'Lashon Kodesh, could be said in a bathhouse, even in Lashon Kodesh. What's the Raya? Some Rishonim explained, because he said these statements in Hebrew. The rest of the statements he didn't say in Hebrew. Why did he say them in Hebrew? To teach this halacha that Dvarim Shalchol, Mutar L'Omer B'Lashon Kodesh. Pisku pamaychu vafiko havla, open your mouths and discharge heat. He wanted to teach the halacha of Shmuel. Dama Shmuel, havla, mafik havla. Heat drives out heat. Inhaling the hot steam of the bathhouse helps bring out the body sweat from the body, which is a refuah. Elish de mai de bebani, drink the water of the bathhouse. My mayusa, what is the benefit from that? The Tanya. So Gemara answers, Ochav leishos, if somebody eats and doesn't drink, achilos edam, it's as if he's shedding his own blood. And there are more taka paskins, that if you have a group of people who ate together and now are going to bench together, the person we should ask the person who drank to lead the benching. Because a person who ate and drank is mekayim v'chalt v'savata more than the person who didn't drink. Eating without drinking is the beginning of stomach problems. If somebody walks, eats, and doesn't walk 4 amos after eating, his food will rot inside him. This is the beginning of bad breath. If somebody needed to go to the bathroom and he ate, it's like an oven that was heated over its old ashes, which really won't heat up the oven. And this is the beginning of perspiration odor. The person will perspire a lot. And if somebody washed himself in hot water and did not drink hot water, it's like an oven that was heated from the outside, but not from the inside, which obviously will not get heated up. If somebody bathed himself in hot water and did not rinse himself afterwards with cold water, it's like metal that was put into fire to turn into a pot, but was not put into cold water afterwards to be strengthened. If somebody went to the bath but he did not smear himself with oil afterwards, it's like pouring water on the outside of a barrel. The water doesn't accomplish anything. You want the water inside the barrel. Says the Mishnah, Mulyur Hagorif, a Mulyur. So, as we will see in the Gemara, a Mulyur was some sort of a pot that had surrounded by a receptacle of coals. Shoysim Menah B'Shabbos, if the coals were removed before Shabbos, and we're going to be learning the Gemara and the Mishnah and the Gemara like Rashi. And then, if there'll be time, we'll say some of the other Shitas HaRishonim. You could drink from it on Shabbos. Antichi, however, an antichi, Api Shagrufa, even if it was shoveled from all its coals before Shabbos, Ein Shoysim Menu, we may not drink from it on Shabbos. So the way Rashi is explaining the Gemara, where the Mishnah, We are speaking here a halacha regarding Shia that we began this parak with, that under certain circumstances you can't leave food on a fire before Shabbos, and the Gemara and the Mishnah is telling us that a Mulyur, if it had grufa, would be permitted, but an Tichi, even if it's grufi, even if the coals were removed, it's awesome. Now the question that Tosfos asks on Rashi is that we paskin, Rashi paskin, like Hananya, that Shia, leaving something on the flame from before Shabbos, is mutter. So why is a Mulyur Hagorif or a Tichi, even if, why is a Tichi if it was Gorif not mutter? So Rishonim give a number of terutzim. One terutz is given that we're talking about something that wasn't yet Machal Ben Drusai. He wasn't cooked a half or a third, which even Hananya will agree she is also. Other Rishonim say that it's talking here about Hatmana. Since the water is completely covered by a thing with coals, it has a din of Hatmana, and Hananya was not Makel on Hatmana. He was only Makel on putting on tap, not with Hatfana. The Ritva explains Rashi, because since this water is in such a very hot utensil, even the Antichi, when it's Gorif, is hot, so it looks like the water got heated up on Shabbos, if you'll remove the water from it on Shabbos, and that's why Chazal prohibited it even from before Shabbos. Ask the Gemara, Heichi Damim Mulya HaGorif, what is the definition of a Mulya? Tana, so the Gemara says, Mayim Vifnim, there's water inside, V'kecholim V'chutz, and coals on the outside. Antichi, what is an Antichi? Rava Amar, Rava says, Be'kiri, it's a compartmental kira, which means you have two boxes, one next to each other, one box contains the liquid, and one box contains the coals. Nachman Yitzchak said Beiduri, it's a two-tier pot with the coals on the bottom and the liquid on top. Says the Gemara, Mandam and Beiduri, according to Mandam, it says that Antichi is Beiduri, and it's Osir, even if it was Goruf, Koshkein Beikiri. So this halach will certainly be by Beikiri, because Beikiri is even hotter than a Beiduri. So if a Beiduri is Osir, certainly a Beikiri is Osir. However, Mandam Beikiri, according to Mandam, it says that Antichi is a Beikiri, Dafka Beikiri, which is very hot, will be Osir, Al Beiduri, but this Issa will not extend to a two-tier pot. Tanya Kavosid Rav Nachman, we learned in a brass like Rav Nachman, Antichi, Abi Shigruf Vektuma, even though it's Gror Vektuma, ain't Shoshna Mena, you can't drink from it on Shabbos, Mnei Shnechushta, because the bottom, so we see that what is an Antichi? A Beiduri which has the heat on the bottom. As we said when we learned the Mishnah, because of Tosfos question of Rashi that if the case is talking from Erev Shabbos, we hold the Chia according to Hananya's Mutter, why it's Pshat in our Mishnah. Therefore Tosfos has a different Pshat in the Mishnah, and he says the question here is that are you allowed to pour water out of a mulya or an antichi into wine to dilute the wine? Because they used to dilute the wine with warm water. But the ashayla is, if the water is too warm, it looks like bishul. And that's why the Mishnah is telling us, a mulya hagarif, the water is not that hot, and therefore it can be poured into the wine, and it's not considered bishul. However, antichi, even if it's garif, is very hot, and pouring that into the wine would be considered bishul. The Rashba asks the same question as Tosfos on Rashi, but he asks another question on Rashi. He says that according to Rashi, our Mishnah is discussing a case of Shia. However, he says, then the order of our Perek seems to be out of sync. The Perek began talking about Shia, the halachas of Erev Shabbos. Then we already began discussing halachas on Shabbos. We spoke about not putting the egg next to the mecham. That's halacha on Shabbos. If according to Rashi, this Mishnah is talking about a situation of Shia, then how could we, then we're regressing. We're going back to Erev Shabbos. So that's why the Rashba, and interestingly enough, the Pnei Yeshua says that this is Pshat and Rashi, says that the Mishnah here is not talking about Shia and Erev Shabbos. Rather, we're talking about putting water into a utensil on Shabbos, and the Mishnah is telling us, into a moyer, that's Goruf, you can't put water on Shabbos, because since it's Goruf, the water will not get that hot, and you could drink from that water. However, if it's not Goruf, it'll be Osir, because that will heat up the water, and it's like putting water on fire. And by Antichi, even when it's Goruf, since it's very hot, it's going to be get cooked, and it's going to be considered you cook the water on Shabbos, and that's why it's Osir. There's a Yerushalmi. The Yerushalmi says Pshat in the Mishnah, and this Yerushalmi is quoted by the Mechitz Yitzchak and by the Shmir Shabbos Kol Chasai, that we're talking here by Antichi, the concern is that if the water is taken, completely removed, then the concern is that this Keli gets ruined, and that's why a person is going to go put new water on Shabbos. So the question is, according to this, how could somebody use a percolator on Shabbos? A percolator should really have the same din as a muli or antichi. You have the fire in the same utensil as the water. And the Shmir Shabbos Kol Chasai Taka questions how we use percolators. The Mechas Yitzchak says, interesting. He says, the reason you're allowed to use a percolator is because in these pots, you could be mechata b'gecholim, you could stir the coals. However, our percolators don't have any dial to make the heat higher or lower, so we don't have a problem of shem yechata. What is a concern, however, is that how can you use a percolator, asked the Mechitz Yitzchak, if we know that if all of the water is removed from the percolator could burn itself out and will be ruined. So why isn't there concern that somebody will add water on Shabbos into the percolator to make sure it doesn't get ruined? So he says that's why it would be preferable to use a percolator that you see the measure of water on Shabbos, and like that you could always be careful not to use up all the water, because otherwise we would have a chashash that you're going to use up the water and then may add water on Shabbos. Says the Mishnah, Hamechem Shepinua, a kettle that was cleared, somebody is now putting cold water into it that should be heated. He could put into it or into a cup, just to warm it up. Now, you're now allowed to put hot water into the mecham. That we understand, because the mecham is a kli rishon, and putting water into the kli rishon that it should get cooked up is bishul b'shabbos. But a kais, isn't a kais a kli sheni? A cup is usually kli sheni, and kli sheni is not mevashel. So there's a machloikas harishonim hadolim pshat in the Mishnah, which is halach lemaisim. Some rishonim explain that our Mishnah is discussing a kais which is a kli rishon, because if it was a kli sheni, it would be mutter. Others want to say that from here we see that a kli sheni is also usur to put things in, because even a kli sheni is mevashel. Ask the Gemara, my kamar, exactly what is this Mishnah teaching us? First, the Mishnah teaches us that it's you shouldn't, then you can. So, like the Pnei Yeshua explains, what's going on in this Gemara Mishnah? Amar of Adba Masna, so Adba Masna says, Hoch Kama. This is what the Mishnah means to say. Hameichem Shepinu Memena Mayim Chamim, a kettle from which hot water was removed. You now are put in a small quantity of cold water into it, Kadesh Yichamu, because that small quantity will get heated up and you'll be over Bishol. I'm a noise from the Toichem Mayim Rubim. You're allowed to put into it a lot of water, Kedei Lafshiram, because it'll only get warmed up and not cooked. And that's permitted. Now, the Pnei Yeshua asks the question. As soon as you put into it a little water, they get cooked. And if you put into it a little water, it gets cooked. So what's going to help me that I'm going to put in more water later? The original small amount of water cooks it. So that's why Taka the Mishnah Berurah says you have to be careful to put the water in one shot. Pour in a lot of water and pour it in one shot, and therefore it will prevent anything from getting cooked, because even as soon as the first drop of water attempts to get cooked, the next gush of water prevents that water from getting cooked. Especially if we say, like the Gemara is going to say, it's a Dovish and Miskavin, his intention is not to cook it. What's the Raya's intention is not to cook it, because he put in a lot of water. That's why it's mutter. Continues the Gemara, ask the Gemara, Veloy Mitzarif, but even though he's not cooking the water, because he's putting in a large quantity of water, still he's hardening the steel of the kettle, which is also in Shabbos, because Rashi explains, because it's makabapatish, completing the making of the utensil by hardening the steel. And says the Gemara, Reb Shimon he, the Gemara, we're going according to Reb Shimon, who holds that Dovish and Miskavin, if somebody does something that he didn't intend to do, this person is not intending to harden the steel, and it's mutter. So Tosfos asks that even though we know that Reb Shimon holds that the Dovish and Miskavin is mutter, it's not mutter in a case of a psik reisha. If something is inevitable that it's going to happen, Reb Shimon agrees that that's not considered Dovish and Miskavin. So why over here is it not inevitable that the steel of this pot will harden? So they answer, first of all, we may be dealing with a kettle that it was already hardened before the heating, so I'm not accomplishing anything with this. Secondly, maybe it wasn't hot enough for it to be hardened with this process. So since it's only a suffix psik reisha, it's not a certain psik reisha, Rav Shimon will not say that it's also, because he only holds it's also when it's a certain psik reisha. Mask of law Abaya. So Abaya challenges Rav Adaba Masna's interpretation of the Mishnah. What are we explaining the Mishnah is talking about? That remove the hot water from the Mecham. Ask the Mara, me the Mecham Shapinam Mena Maim Ktani, did our Mishnah say that they remove the hot water from the Mecham? Mecham Shapinu Ktani. It just says that the Mecham was cleared, not that the water was cleared from in it. Elam Abaya. So that's why Abaya explains the Mishnah this way. Hachi Kama. HaMecham Shapinua, if you took the Mecham off the fire, the Yesh B'Maim Chamim, and it still has it in hot water, lo yitein l'toich maim u'atim b'shvushi chaymai. Someone should not put a small quantity of cold water into it in order to heat it. Avon nois l'toich maim u'rubim, you're allowed to put into it a lot of cold water, kedei lafshirim, in order to merely warm it, because that's not bishul. So you're allowed to pour a quantity of water that is so great that the result will not end up with a water that's yatz ledespoy. Avol, and now another halacha, and this is the way the Rishonim explained the Gemara. Since the Mishnah taught us its din, dafka in the lashon of mechem shipinua, rather in teaching us the halacha of mechem shipinam mimenu mayim, what the Mishnah is trying to teach us is that mechem shipinua, there it makes a difference. You took the kettle off, and now it makes a difference. Will the water that you put into the kettle get cooked or not? However, mechem shipinam menamayim, a kettle that you took the hot water from it, there aloch is la yitein l'toichamayim. You shouldn't put into it water. Now it's very interesting. The Tosfos Yeshanim on the side takes out the words kol ikar. Why does he take out the word kalikr? Because kalikr means you're not allowed to put it into it any water, which is not true. Because the iser now of putting water into it is a b'neshim mitzarf, because it hardens the steel. Now hardening the steel is only possible when you fill up the whole pot. So if you're just going to put in kalikr, just put into it a little water, you don't have a problem. So therefore, Allah is loyitelim, don't fill it up with water, mnesh mitzarif, because you're hardening the steel. Rabbi Yehuda he, and now we're going to explain that our Mishnah is going according to Rabbi Yehuda, domar, davashenem skavin osir, something that is unintended is still osir. So even though this person did not have intention to harden the steel, to harden the pot, still, that's what's happening here, and davashenem skavin is osir. It's interesting, the Shevet Alevi, Paskins, based on this Gemara, that if a person goes into a mikveh, sometimes in the mikvahs there are thermometers. And if you go into the mikveh and you raise the level of the water that it should hit the thermometer, it may cause that the mercury in the thermometer should go up. because that's what happens when you cook the mercury, which will be a dovish and a miskavim, but it's a psik ratio, because it's certainly what's going to happen, and a person should be careful either to make sure that the thermometer is higher than even when he goes into the mikveh, the level the water will go up, or the thermometer should already be lower.